Today, I'm going to be speaking on spiritual appetite and what to really be hungry for. We've been spending the year learning what it looks like to live in true community. We are in the middle of a series on prayer, which is key to live in true community together. In the early church, they were desperate for the Holy Spirit. As a community, they had a hunger for the relationship with Jesus together, and it transformed not just their lives, but the community around them. Have you ever experienced true hunger? See, we throw that word around real excessively nowadays. We could show up to church 9:45, eat out on the patio, have a few pastries, come into service, have some worship time. And then by the time I get up here and preach, you start feeling that rumble in your stomach. You start feeling a little hangry. You start looking at the things up here and go, oh man, I could just kill those Oreos right now. You get distracted. You have those hunger pains. Prayer is our connection to the source. It's the main part of our relationship with Jesus. Prayer is crucial to abiding in him. Not praying is like cutting off your food supply. You won't last very long. You become weak. When you cut off your food supply, you start to become susceptible to sickness, to just feeling different in your head. You start to feel angry. You start to get really messed up with your decision making. You start to make choices based on how hungry you are in the moment. You essentially become ineffective. In the same way, when we kill off our connection to God, we kill off the source. Hunter read this morning, my son, he read, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." This is a promise that when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for Jesus, when you hunger and thirst for his things, he will fill you. So the question I have for us today is, do you hunger to hear from Jesus? Do you hunger to experience him? Do you hunger for more of Jesus? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for this time that we have to just hear truth today. I know that this is a message you've been brewing inside of my heart for a while. I know that this is something that you've had to work out in me. And so I pray, God, that as I share, as I speak just what your heart is, as you speak directly to each and every one of us, Holy Spirit, would you do the work? I don't want any words that are mine to stick out. I want your truth to stick. So do that today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's this story about a man who was worried about his wife and her hearing. He was concerned that she had this problem with hearing and that she wouldn't go to a doctor. So he got so fed up that he finally decided to put a little test out there. He went and sat in the room with her and he was over in one area and he just said, "Honey, I love you. Did you hear that?" Nothing. So then he went and he snuck up behind her and he said, "Honey, I love you. Did you hear that?" So frustrated at no response, he finally sat right in front of her and he said, "Honey, I love you. Did you hear that?" And she says, "I love you too," for the third time. See, many times we can feel like the husband in the story. We pray, we feel like we're speaking, but God can't hear me. But the reality is God's always speaking to us. He's listening to everything we're saying. I just don't always hear him. What hinders us from hearing from God? I've got a few things today to share with you. The first one is you can miss God's voice when you don't recognize it. See, you may be hearing God's voice, but you don't know it. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 27. He said, "The sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me." See, it's kind of like when you get put this meal for the first time and you have no clue. If you went out somewhere and you're like, "I'm so hungry," and there's this food in front of you and you don't recognize it, you might think it's a rock. You might think it's some weird thing that is not edible, but it's sustenance. It's something that you can eat and be filled. If you don't recognize God's voice, you can't take it. You can't take it in. You can't receive it. You cannot hear it. See, I know my wife. I know her voice. I've gotten really good at knowing who she is, knowing the kind of things she says, knowing the tone of her voice, the sound of her voice, and she has actually kind of a quieter voice for the most part. When it's with the kids, it's a little different, right? Same here. my wife, I could be in a crowded room, talking, having a conversation, and I could hear across the room her voice, and I recognize it. And I know what's being said. I know what she's saying. Or I could be on a phone call, and obviously nowadays it's kind of a mute point because we have caller ID on our phones. But back in the day, you pull up a phone, and if you were really close with someone, just hearing their voice, you already know who they are. And you know that if someone's trying to trick you, and they start saying something that doesn't match the character, you already know it's a scam. No, don't buy into it, right? The same thing with God. When we know who he is, we can hear his voice, and we know what's his and what's not. So it's crucial to spend time with Jesus in the Word, in prayer, getting to really know him, getting to really know his character, getting to see who he is and what he's done and what he does consistently. The second reason we might not hear from God is you can miss God's voice if you aren't hungry for it. My middle child, Owen, he has this selective hunger issue. See, he's always hungry. Like, this kid, he snacks nonstop. I don't get it. Like, if you would think that we starve him, we don't have food in the house because he's constantly got some kind of thing in his hands just munching down. But he's very selective. See, he'll say that he's hungry. He'll come in and he's like, I'm so hungry. And we'll whip him up some kind of sandwich. We'll get him some carrot sticks. We'll give him something that's healthy. That's a good choice in the moment. And then he goes, one bite, I'm not hungry. Right? And he walks away. All right, you're not hungry. Cool. 5 minutes later, he comes in. I'm starving. I'm so hungry. Okay, well, no, I'm not hungry. Then finally, he goes into the cabinet and he finds the Cheez-Its, the graham crackers, the goldfish, the carbs, right? He's a carb kid. He's selective with his hunger. It drives me insane. I was also selective as a kid, not with hunger, but with listening. Growing up, my parents constantly were telling me that I had selective hearing. I would not hear the commands that they'd give me. I wouldn't listen to the things that they would ask me, and I could be right there in the room. But then I could be somewhere else in the room, and they could be saying something about me, and my ears would perk up right away. Whoa, what are you saying about me now? Right? It was selective hearing, or rather selective obedience. See, when we aren't hungry for God's word and all of his word, we get selective. We decide when we're hungry for it and when we're not, or what we actually want. And it causes us to stop hearing from God. The third thing is, you won't be hungry for God's voice if you're spoiling your appetite. See, there's typically two ways to look at the phrase spoiling your appetite. Many times as parents, we tell our kids not to eat anything right before dinner because we don't want them to spoil their appetite, right? Because if they eat, then they're not hungry anymore. They aren't desiring food. But the second way that I think about this is when you eat consistently a certain type of diet, you eat a certain type of meal, you eat something and you start to change your cravings and your desires and your hunger for that specific thing. Like eating Jack in the Box tacos all the time for a snack will spoil my desire for healthy, good options. See, I believe our issue in the church with going deeper with God and hearing his voice more clearly is not an ability, but rather a desire. It's the issue of having a desire for an unhealthy appetite, for things that distract us and keep our attention away from God. It kills our healthy spiritual appetite. In March, I had this time away with some of the students. We went up to Mount Hermon for a retreat. And during that retreat, the speakers there were, these were all students that were called into ministry or have a desire to pursue God at a deeper level, looking toward ministry. And so the speakers there were really hitting hard with a lot of good points. And I'm sitting there listening and I'm learning, and I'm not one of the participants. I'm the leader that brought these kids. And I'm hearing from these speakers all these quotes, all these references from different knowledge that they have. I'm listening to them talk. I'm listening to them speak this spiritual truth. And I'm just like, man, I'm garbage. How are they getting all this knowledge? And God quickly tells me, well, they read. And so I'm like, all right, yeah, they read. Well, here's the thing you don't know about me. All my life, I've hated reading. I've considered myself a horrible reader. I don't retain things well. I don't think about things. I don't process the reading really well. And I absolutely hate it. And so all my life, I've really had this understanding that I am horrible with reading. I don't love it. It's not my thing. And so when they talked about this at the camp, I was just like, no, that is not my thing. Well, God continued to work. I'd hear these concepts. I'm like, man, there's no way that they are coming up with this stuff. It's too good. They are reading it. This is the issue, God. I have to get... And he's like, I know, I already told you. You got to read. I'm like, God, why am I not a good reader? See, here's a good thing. In those moments when we struggle and we wrestle with God, it's good to ask questions. There was something deeper than just the fact that they were good at reading and I'm not. There's an issue with me inside. There's an issue with me that needed to be worked out. And so I asked God, why? Why am I not a good reader? Why do I not love reading? That's what it really is. It's not about being good at reading or not. I know how to read words, but I don't love it. Why? Why do I struggle with even in my devotion time wanting to spend time in your word? Like, it's a good thing and I want it and I should want it, but I struggle even then. God, what is this issue? And he hit me real quick and real hard. He said, you're spoiling your appetite. You're spoiling your appetite with mindless entertainment, with things that don't last, that don't matter, and you're wasting your appetite on those things instead of the things that I want to give you. Now, see, in that moment, he was talking specifically about reading, and that was the first step, but as he continued to work this out in me, he talked about listening to him and hearing his voice and how I'm so distracted because of this mindless entertainment that I'm in. And I promise you, this is not my whole message about entertainment. But this was my thing. This was my junk food. I love to just go home and veg out on the TV. Just like be done with my day. Just be lazy for a minute and just not have to deal with any other issues or problems. And I've developed this craving for just flipping through the channels, scrolling through the phone, just to be distracted. But see, God convicted me that day, and he talked to me about this, that if I really want to hunger for the things that are good, the good food from him, the truth from him, if I want to hunger for these books to learn more about who he is and these writings from old theologians to understand God more and to go deeper with him, if I want to grow in hearing his voice more clearly, I need to cut off the junk food in my life. And so that day I made a decision. I cut it out. I came home and I knew that if I didn't do this right away, I'd probably go right back to the TV that night. So I told the kids on the drive home, hey, this is what God said, and I'm done with watching TV. And I'm going to start reading. And they laughed. They know me. My students know I'm not a reader. So then I get home, and I tell my wife. I make it more, like, real. I'm cutting out TV. I'm done with it. And see, we really enjoyed, like, watching some shows at night. And, like, after anyone that's a parent, I'm sure this is just part of, like, a prerequisite, is you need to learn how to, like, get into a TV mode after dealing with kids all day so you can just shut down, right? Like, it works really well for us. And I have no judgment on my wife. I'm like, look, this is not your thing. God didn't tell me that you need to do this. This is what I need to do, right? We got to be careful with this. And as we get deeper into this, when God gives us convictions about our stuff, don't make it about everyone else. Stick to yourself. But my thing was mindless entertainment. And so I cut it out. And I started to make a decision right there. I was going to read books. I was going to read books that weren't just books just for entertainment. There's great ones that you can enjoy, but I was going to focus on things that were going to fill my spirit. I spent time in the Word on a deeper level. I spent time in prayer at a new level with Him. And I spent time reading books, and I've got a stack of books now to be able to look back and go, man, maybe I'm not such a bad reader after all. See, I started to remove the spiritual junk food in my life, and my desires and my hunger to hear from Jesus in every way started to change. So I want to talk to us about this today, about what's spoiling our appetite for the things of God. What's spoiling our appetite from hearing from Him? What's cutting us off from hearing more clearly from God? The question is, how do you stop this craving for the junk food? If there's this issue of we have this thing that we are spoiling our appetite with, how do we stop craving it? The first thing is we need to identify the junk food. Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." As we sang that song and Pastor Sean talked about it, about letting the light in. And Pastor Greg talked about that with Christian, that we let the light in. The light of Christ shines on us and reveals the dark spots in our life. It reveals anything that needs to get removed. Any false belief, any kind of activity that is corrupting us, anything that is not of Him. When the light of God is revealed on us, we can see where those areas of danger are. Any offensive way. See, this scripture talks about anything that takes priority over God, anything that is against God, any kind of idol in our life, any thought that isn't true about yourself, any action. See, this is where it really starts to hit home. For each of us, this is going to look different. As I talked about, mine is mindless entertainment and this avoidance mentality of wanting to just separate my mind and just cool off. It's easy for us to look and go, "Well, I don't have any junk food in my life. I don't got any issues. I've got nothing that's separating me from God." But see, we all have different types of junk food. We all have our own cravings and desires. What's spoiling my appetite for Jesus may not be what spoils yours. TV might not be your thing. Social media might be your thing. Relationships. See, the question is, what makes you content in a moment and later left empty and longing for more? I've got some examples of junk food here today. These weren't just so that they sit up here. But I want to walk you through some concepts of maybe some spiritual junk food in your life. The first one would be social media and death scrolling. Now, this is the most obvious, like, it's just ugly for you. It's just gross. When you get stuck, and I'm not making fun of anyone that is, I'm sure many of us are on social media. Social media itself is not the bad thing, right? Just like these chips. Pringles? Not bad. But here's the problem. Just like social media and scrolling on your YouTube and everything else, once you pop, the fun don't stop. Once you get going with it, you don't stop. Like, you could jump on and be like, "I'm going to just spend like 5 minutes on there." 2 hours later, and you're just like, "Why is it 1 o'clock at night?" Actually, that's a bad thing if you're up that late already to begin with. That's danger. You start getting sucked into it, and it becomes the thing instead of focusing on Jesus. Maybe yours is mindless entertainment. Like mine, some kind of thing that, man, it just sounds so good in the moment. And I just need just a little bit of it. But you never stop with just a little bit. You keep going and you keep feeding and fueling that desire. And then you don't find yourself hungry for the things of God. Other things like false security. Money, good looks, a relationship, a status, your possessions. They build up over time and they taste really good, but man, it just leaves you desiring something that's real. It's like these salty chips, you eat them and there's something you want afterwards that you just can't figure out. Living water? Some other examples of junk food in your life might be gym time over Jesus time. Went there for some of you. So focused on getting into the gym and getting healthy and working out and building your muscle, and yet the spiritual muscle is being deprived. For others of us, it might be our work. We spend so much time just consumed in what we're doing because it represents who we are. And it makes us feel good in the moment to be productive and to be successful and have this thing in place. And Jesus is just saying, that's not the thing. It might be church volunteering. It might be you focused on being so plugged in here and doing all these good things, but yet your spiritual tank of spending time with God is depleted. See, some of these things are okay, just a little bit of it. Definitely not the Cheetos. Stay away from the Cheetos. One Oreo, is it going to kill you? No. But the issue is, if that becomes your desire, if that becomes your craving, it cuts off your hunger and your thirst for the good thing. If you spend all your time scrolling on social media, if you spend all your time in the gym and not with God, if you spend all your time volunteering everywhere and being busy and doing good things, but yet not spending time with the one who you are actually doing it for, it kills you. So I want to take a moment right now and actually have us identify the junk food in our life. I want us to take some time, and if you would just bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want us to ask. I want us to have God really search us. So ask him this question right now. I've got two questions for you. And let's just pray it together. If you want to open your eyes, actually, you can see the questions on the screen. But just ask God these questions right now. Jesus, what spiritual junk food am I filling my life with? Let him speak to you for a moment. What is the thing that is pulling me away from you? What in my life is killing my appetite to hear from you, Jesus? And as you hear from him, I encourage you to write it down. If you don't hear right now, that's okay. You can pray this again. But just spend just another moment. Jesus, I pray that you continue to search us, know our heart, know every anxious thought that goes on in our hearts and our minds. See if there's any offensive way in us, anything that is killing our appetite and our hunger for you. Help us to recognize it, to call it out for what it is. We hunger for you, Jesus. Amen. The second thing that we need to do is stop eating the junk food. So after we identify the junk food in our lives, we need to stop eating it. Proverbs 15, verse 14 says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. Sounds like mindless entertainment to me. A wise person is hungry for knowledge. Not just any knowledge, not like Google everything and get to know it, but like knowledge from the source, from God. A wise person hungers for knowledge from God, for wisdom, for just relationship with him. Because when you are in relationship with him, you receive knowledge. But a fool feeds on trash. See, we need to stop eating the junk food in our lives. When you stop eating the junk food, you begin to desire healthy food. So how do we stop craving the junk food? How do we do this? How do we actually like stop wanting it? Well, we got to remove it. Get it out of there. Get it out of your house. Take the junk food and get rid of it. Like seriously. Hopefully none of this gets opened up over there. Be pretty bad. I'd have to apologize to my dad later. Get it out of your house. Whatever junk food is going on in your life, whatever thing that is keeping you from desiring God, get rid of it. Put it on pause. Take steps for accountability. Talk to someone about it right away and say, you know, this is the thing that God has spoken to me about. This is the thing that I know I've run to instead of God. And do it as soon as you can. Paul talks about this in Colossians. He says, put to death the practices. Put to death the things that are killing you inside. It's funny, the things that are killing you, you need to actually kill them. Get rid of those things. In 2 Corinthians, he says, take every thought captive. Sometimes it's not an action that's the junk food in your life. It's just the thoughts that pop up and you dwell on them and you feed on them and they become your reality. Take every thought captive and make it obedient. Toss that garbage out. But it's not enough to just remove it. Because I know this, if I got rid of the junk food in my house and I had nothing else in the fridge, I'd be driving down to Jack in the Box right away. So you need to replace what you throw out with something good. So spend time in the presence of the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 17 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. You're going to feed one desire or the other. You're going to have this hunger and thirst inside of you. And if you fill it with the fleshly desires, the things that won't sustain you, it's just going to be this constant cycle of running back to it. Spend time in the presence of the Lord. Spend daily time with him. Get a quiet time if you don't have it and start to hear from him. Start to talk to him in ways that you've never talked to him before. More intimately, more honestly. Spend time in the Word where you are just, you're feeding on the truth. Replace the lies with the truth. Replace the garbage with his goodness. Leonard Ravenhill writes this. He says, to be much for God, we must be much with God. See, it takes spending a lot of time with God to be really close with him. You can have the quick fix. You can go and get the quick meal, or you can spend time feasting at his table. See, there's this theory for unhealthy overeating called the protein leverage hypothesis. It was pretty interesting. As I started down this journey of clearing out the spiritual junk food in my life, I came across this topic. And basically what the protein leverage hypothesis is a human will feed until they get enough protein. In other words, if your body needs these nutrients, it needs protein to grow and to build muscle, to be healthy, it needs certain vitamins, certain nutrients. If you take those things out of your normal diet, you're going to have a craving to just keep eating and eating because you don't have what you need. And see, in the spiritual world, we often indulge in our flesh to try to fill the need that can only be met by God. See, God created you with a need for him. He didn't create you with a need for more Instagram, more Facebook, more whatever your social media thing is. He didn't create you with a need for more gym time. Yes, be healthy, but not to just go above and beyond. He didn't create you with a need to have all the finances in the world, all the security, the biggest house, the nicest car. That's not what he created you for. He created you with a need for him, to stay connected to him. That's why Jesus says, abide in me. So the question for us to ask Jesus right now is, what need am I trying to feed with junk food that only you can satisfy? So I want to ask you to, again, take a moment and ask God this question. Just ask him. He's good. He is faithful. He will speak. And so let's take a moment right now. If your head's bowed and your eyes closed, ask him this question. Jesus, what need am I trying to feed with spiritual junk food that you are the one to satisfy? What's that need inside of me? What am I trying to fill? Ask him and let him speak to you. Jesus, I thank you that you created us with a longing and a desire to connect to you, that was our purpose from the beginning, was to just remain in you, to stay with you. I know that daily we are bombarded with lies from the enemy about not being enough, not being loved, not having enough, that we're inadequate. And God, these lies, they fuel a deep down fear that we try to fill with things and ideas in our life. I pray, Lord, that we would realize the junk food that we're filling it with, that we would realize the needs that we really deeply have and recognize that you already provide there. You're so good. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So we need to remove the junk food. We need to replace it with something good, with time with the Lord. And we need to taste and see. We need to taste and see that he's good. See, it's not just about the one-time experience, but it's the continual experience. It's as you taste something that is good for you and you eat it and it's healthy and then you continue to eat, it changes your cravings. As I started to change my eating personally and I was wanting to eat better, I would get rid of the junk food and I would start to eat healthy meals. Well, the first time I didn't like it. I didn't want it. As I got rid of the mindless entertainment and I picked up a book, after about 2 minutes, I was like, all right, this is done. Where's the next thing? But I had to continue in it and taste and see that it was actually good for me. As I spent time with God and I hear from him over and over again, I'm reminded of how good he is. Get a taste for hearing from God. Get a taste for experiencing his truth, and it will change your cravings from an artificial experience to the real thing. Have you ever tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Have you stopped and thought about how good he is? How good his truth for you has been in your life? How good his provisions have been? Taste and see and believe that he is good, not just for others, but for you. But see, this takes waiting on the Lord. Every good meal takes waiting. Every good meal is not instant. I've got this tri-tip at home. I'm really excited for it, guys. Let me just tell you. So I don't know if you know what sous vide is, but I love cooking my tri-tip sous vide style. So I've got this sous vide it's basically a water bath that you're just cooking this meat in. And it takes about 6.5-7 hours. John Burnham might have a different timing than me, but it's a process. It's going to take time. And here's the thing. I'm thinking about this tri-tip later tonight. It's going to be so good. I'm going to cook it in the sous vide, and then I'm going to finish it off and sear it real nice. And oh man, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good meal. But see, I could go home and I could have my nice lunch, and then later on, right about 4 o'clock, while the tri-tip is just about rounding out, I could start to have this desire. Start popping open the fridge, looking for those things, maybe grab a couple of those Oreos if someone else doesn't take them. And I start to eat, and I could ruin what I'm actually waiting for. Don't let the things of the world, don't let the lies of the enemy or the things that can easily distract you cut you off from what God is preparing for you. It's good to wait on him. So the last thing we do, we taste and see, and then we need to put what we receive into action. I'm getting ready to wrap up soon here. We need to put what we receive into action. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." See, the more you obey God, the hungrier you will be to experience God. The more you respond when he speaks to you, you see that he's faithful. The more that you've experienced encounters with him, the other things are no longer enough. You're no longer wanting the junk food. You want to keep running back to him because he's the one that will leave you satisfied. He will be the one that will continually feed you and give you nourishment. See, as I saw the result of the fruit from cutting out the entertainment in my life and turning to Jesus, turning to learning from him and growing in my knowledge and understanding of him. And I became hungry for more of him and more of things that were good for my mind. I started to cut off the junk food, and I had this desire. As I started to put the things into practice, I became even hungrier for it. It's like when you go to the gym and you've been eating healthy and you do a really good workout, and then you're like, man, I need some more protein. Let's go. See, when you take what God has said and you obey and you do something with it, it just produces more of a desire for him. So church, today, I want to just challenge us. What are we feeding on? What are we spending our time with? What are we putting our focus on and our desire in? Is it the things that won't last, or is it Jesus? Is it some quick answer from something online, or is it spending time in his word and things that will build a foundation into your life? Are you hungry to hear from Jesus? Are you hungry to experience him? Are you hungry for more of him? I want to wrap up this time with this final question. What is Jesus asking you to stop consuming to be more hungry for him? What is Jesus asking you to stop consuming so you could be more hungry for him? As you think about your life and your time, your daily time, do you find yourself busy, preoccupied, where you don't even have time to stop and have a conversation with Jesus? Do you find yourself missing your time in the Word because you just don't really desire it? The question is, what are you consuming? What's taking up residence in your mind and in your heart that's keeping you from more of him? As I've listened to Pastor Greg talk about the conviction of really Jesus speaking and saying, return again to the things that are important, the first love, me, return back to this. Do we have that hunger for him? Do we have that hunger and that desire for relationship with him, to hear more clearly from him, to walk with him, to be in step with him? Now see, Jesus may be calling you to just a spiritual cleanse today. Maybe you don't need to completely get rid of a thing forever. To be really honest, as I've gotten healthy with not watching TV, not controlling what I'm like being on it, there's some times where I'll sit down and occasionally enjoy one show with my wife. We love watching The Chosen. It's great. I don't see it as mindless entertainment. Or maybe there's one movie that, you know, I say, okay, I'm going to have this one time of enjoying it. It's like the Oreo. Occasionally, it's not going to kill you. But see, at first, I needed to spiritually cleanse. I needed to cut off all the garbage so I could get healthy, so that my cravings could get back in line with God. You may not need to cut it off forever. But he's calling you to put it aside for now, to cleanse your mind, your heart, and your soul, to have healthy appetite for him again. But see, there's another calling that he might be giving you today. Jesus may be calling you to remove permanently a food from your life, remove an action, remove a belief. He might be calling out the thing that's really killing you. See, there's certain foods that if you keep eating it, it's going to cause death. It's going to cause sickness. The fact of the matter is, not everything is death. But at the same time, there's specific things you know you have been keeping real close in your life, and they're ruining your appetite from God. See, there's things that he's calling on you right now. What are those things? We've been addressing it. We've been asking God, what's the thing that is killing you inside? Are you going to keep holding on to it just so you get your one more fix? Just so you feel satisfied in the moment? Jesus said this. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Is it worth compromising and running back to the thing that you want for the moment? Or are you going to run to Jesus? Are you going to keep holding close to him? Because he promises you'll never go hungry. You'll never be thirsty. I will always take care of you. Let's learn to hunger and thirst for God. Because he will fill you. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you fill us. I thank you that you promise that if we hunger and thirst for you, if we come to you, if we turn the other way from the distractions and the things that maybe feel good in the moment, maybe satisfy us in the moment, and we run to you, we see that you are our source. You say that we will be filled. I believe, God, that this message is not just one that I needed to hear today, but that each and every one of us needs to hear. If we really want to be effective as a community, if we want to live in true community, we really need to have a hunger and a thirst for you. And that takes just putting it into practice, getting moving. I pray, Lord, that we would step out, that we would recognize the junk food and that we would clear it from our lives. I pray that if there's a cleansing that we need to do in our life of things and put it on hold to get healthy with you, that we would do that. I pray that if there's things that are killing us inside, we would cut it off. That we would put it to death. I thank you, Lord, for your truth. I thank you that you are our provider, but you are also our bread of life. You're not just the one that feeds us. You are the thing that feeds us. It's you. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you as we wrap up right now. In a moment, it's going to be our official closing time. And if you need to leave at that point, feel free. But if one thing that I really believe is that if you want to grow in your hunger and your desire for God, it takes responding to him, stepping out, and actually producing that hunger. So I want to encourage you with this time. We're going to have elders up here or prayer partners up here to pray with you. And if you want to have some time to pray together, to seek after God, to hunger and thirst for him, you can come and pray with them. Or if you want to just stay in your seats or pray up here, just reflect with God. Take some time to respond. Let him fill you. Jesus, we love you. And we really, truly, we want to grow in you. We want to desire you more. So I pray that you would build this hunger inside of us. Deepen our relationship with you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Feel free to go if you need to. Stay as long as you want to pray. God bless.
Yes, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Thank you, Father. I thank you, God, that we were made for more. Forgive us, Lord, when we've had this habit of choosing what is less than, what is junk, what is unworthy. I pray, Father, we would fill ourselves with your Holy Spirit, but fill ourselves, God, with your word, with your leading in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would make a commitment today and a transition, a transformation in our lives to respond to what you've asked us to do. May you be glorified today. May we live, Father, the day, this day, in the way that you've called us to do so. May we go from this place and glorify in your name. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.